leading us in that. That was an opportunity to meditate and to just focus on the Lord. Thank you for, we thank God for you and the talent He's given you and leading us in that every Sunday. How often does He think about you and care for you? David, a long time ago, a young man in the Bible, started out as a shepherd. And he would spend his time in those fields shepherding sheep. David knew what it meant to take good care of his sheep. He knew how to guide them and protect them and provide for them. And God spoke to David, and God allowed David to pen part of His word to us. David knew the sheep. He knew he was a shepherd. He knew how to take care of sheep, and he lived that. He understood the care that a good shepherd takes for his sheep. And God gave David Psalm 23, which many of you know by heart, this shepherd's psalm. And the main point of Psalm 23 in God's Word is God is telling us through David and through the pen of David, God is saying that He cares for you just like a good shepherd cares for his sheep. Well, we know this was many, many years ago that David penned this. We know this was a long time ago. But God tells us in His Word, the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is the same. Jesus Christ being fully God, fully man, God in the flesh who came. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's always the same. So this exact same God that showed David, I care for you just like you care for these sheep, is telling you that this morning. I care for you just like a good shepherd cares for his sheep. Well, let's look at that. How does he do it? In what ways does God care for you like a shepherd cares for his sheep? Turn with me to Psalm 23. Now, don't opt out if you know it by heart and you say, oh, I already know it. I don't need to. Come on, turn there with me so you can focus on some of these words. You know, the incredible thing about God's Word is it doesn't matter how many times you read the same passage. It doesn't matter if you've committed it to memory and you've recited it 1,000 times. God's Word is living and active and sharper than any double-edged sword, and it cuts to your heart. And the truth of the matter is God speaks through His Word. This is His mouthpiece. And that same passage that you've recited over and over and over, and you may say, I don't even need to look at it. Oh, don't shut God's mouth. You go ahead and look at it. God speaks to you through His Word. It's living. And He'll speak to you through it all the time. Well, let's pray before I mess this thing up. Father, we thank You for Your Word, Lord, that You speak to us through it. We thank You that it is living, that we hear Your voice, Lord, that if we want to hear from You, all we have to do is open the pages of Your Scripture or listen to it on a CD or any way we want to, an MP3 or, on the radio, Lord, a Bible teacher, or come into a sermon. Lord, anytime we hear Your Word, anytime it goes out, anytime we read it, Lord, You speak. You open Your mouth. Lord, would You speak to us right now? Lord, would You move me aside? We need to hear from You. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In Psalm 23, this is the NIV translation. God tells us, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. So how does God care for you like a sheep, like a shepherd cares for his sheep? Well, the first way is that he guides you. The first way that God cares for you like a good shepherd cares for his sheep is that he guides you. Look at verses 2 and 3 there. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Let me not skip over verse 1. Verse 1 is just incredible. The Lord is my shepherd. It's personal. He's my shepherd. He's your shepherd. He's your shepherd. He loves you. Now, you may be a sheep that's astray. Maybe you haven't come to him yet. Maybe he's drawing you. Maybe he's trying to get you into his sheep pen. Maybe you've gone off on your own and gone astray. But he loves you. And it says that the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. What is it to be in want? That means, well, something's not right. I'm not content. I want something else. I'm not content with this situation. I'm in want. This isn't working. I want something else. God's telling us here, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. In other words, he's my shepherd. He knows way more than I do. He loves me more than I love myself. He loves me more than any human being has ever loved me or could possibly love me. And therefore, he's taking the best possible care of me. So the truth is, I have no reason to be in want. Whatever he chooses for me, I can trust myself to him. He loves me. He wants the best for me. And so in other words, there's no reason for me to be in want, wanting something else. I should just want his will. But in verse 2, the first way that he cares for you is that he guides you. Look at verse 2 and 3. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You see guidance all through those two verses. Well, David is saying here he knows from his experience that he's taken his sheep and he's looked for the best pastures. He's looked for the green pastures, the luscious pastures for his sheep. David knows this and he tries to find the best green pastures for his sheep. And then David would try to lead his sheep, I'm sure, to still waters, because if the waters are rough, the sheep get afraid and they won't drink from the rough water, so he would look for the still waters. Well, God tells you that he makes you lie down in green pastures. He wants the best pastures for you. He wants the best places for you. His will for you is best because he loves you. And we see his guidance. God guides you from morning until night, just like a good shepherd would his sheep. He guides you from morning until night. And how does he do that today? By his Holy Spirit. If you're a believer, if you're a follower of Christ, if you've given your heart to Christ, then the Holy Spirit is in you. Christ lives in you. And his Holy Spirit is with you and in you. And his Holy Spirit is guiding you. Just like a good shepherd does his sheep, God's Holy Spirit guides you from morning till night. You wake up in the morning. As a believer, he's guiding you. We see that in John 16:3. Listen to this. Jesus said, John 16:13. Jesus said, "But when he, the Spirit of truth," that's the Holy Spirit, But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit is your guide. He guides you continuously. In Galatians 5, verses 16 to 18, we see that He's guiding us by His Spirit. God tells us in those verses, "So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law." For the believer, for the Christian, the Spirit is leading you. God's Spirit guides you. He leads you. Romans 8, 9 tells us, "You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit of God." God guides you. Now, there's a couple of principles about His guidance that I wanted to share with you. God's guidance is initiated by Him and not you. You don't have to get God's guidance. You don't have to continuously spend your time trying to make Him guide you, trying to get Him to guide you like He's not guiding you. A good shepherd continuously guides his sheep on his initiative. And so the truth here is, the principle here is, God is continually guiding you on His initiative. He loves you. He wants the best for you. He continues to guide you. Matter of fact, in Isaiah, I believe it is, it says, "The Lord guides you continually." Well, sometimes you won't realize that He's guiding you. Sometimes we just forget, or we're unaware that He's guiding us as a believer. But He's continually guiding us. In Proverbs, it tells us, "In his heart a man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps." You may think in your heart, well, here's what's going on. Here's where I'm supposed to go. This is what I'm supposed to do. But then it doesn't turn out that way necessarily. But God tells us, in your heart you plan your way, but the Lord directs your steps. He's guiding you. Maybe that wasn't exactly where He wanted you to go. Maybe it was over here. He directs your steps. Sometimes a decision has to be made. And sometimes there's only a certain amount of time, and when that deadline comes, the decision has to be made. And sometimes you've been praying about something for a long time, and you've been crying out to the Lord, "Lord, what do? I don't know which way to go. I don't know how to go on this. What do I do?" And then the deadline comes, and sometimes we still feel like, "Oh, I don't know what to do. Lord, what do I do?" And you've prayed about it, but you just don't know. And then the deadline's here and it's time to decide. You can trust that He's guiding you. Your heart was right. You were crying out to the Lord. You were asking Him, "What do I do? What do I do? I'm seeking You." And the time came to make the decision. You might not feel like you have His guidance, but He loves you. You don't even, without your crying out like that over and over, He's guiding you. He's your good shepherd. He's continually guiding you. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight." So the truth is, you have a big decision to make. The decision needs to be made. The time comes and it's time and you've been praying, and trust. Read Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 when that time comes. Trust Him with all your heart. And forget about your understanding. Forget about how you don't understand what's going on. You don't understand the decision. And realize that He says, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Well, have you acknowledged Him for the last week in prayer? Yeah. Are you acknowledging Him when it's time to make that decision? Yes, you're acknowledging Him. What did He promise? Trust in Him. And acknowledge Him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. You'll be on His path, whether you feel it or not. He'll make your path straight. You have His guidance. So don't get bogged down in the details of following Him. You know, the word guidance ends in a word, doesn't it? The word guidance contains a word, doesn't it? What word does guidance contain toward the end? Go on, say it. Joan's got it. Dance. Dance, right? Well, you know what? There's a lot of parallels there between guidance, the guidance of the Lord, and a dance. My grandpa, it's funny that my parents are here today, so my mom, I'm sure, will appreciate hearing this. But my grandpa, his name was Josh Blakely, and he passed away a couple years ago at 94. And he was an incredible man, and he grew up in British Honduras. And he was just the life of the party. Anytime we'd go to a wedding or anything, he'd be right over by the pianist. He'd say, "Hey, do you know so-and-so?" And then that's not the end of it. He would grab the microphone, and he would sing it, whatever it was. And he could dance. He could dance. He didn't even need a partner. I'm serious. I would often see him. Am I right, Mom? I would often see him just doing all this. He would just dance. And he could dance with a partner. All the older ladies just wanted to dance with him. And that's just how he was. But he could dance. And you know, I know that his excellent dancing did not come from looking at his feet. I don't think when he danced with his wife, I don't think he would watch his feet and try to dance with her. I think he would look into her eyes, and I think he would dance with her. And I think the dance would be beautiful because he was paying attention to her. He was focused on her, on who he was with. He didn't worry about the steps. That's guidance. That's God's guidance. You don't have to be so particular. You don't have to make sure you're walking on glass bottles, pins and needles, trying to follow God's guidance. You need to just be in His presence. You need to just seek His face. And you need to just stay focused on Him. Fix your eyes on Jesus. And just live the dance. And you'll be in His guidance. You'll be in the center of His will. You'll be following Him, just being in His presence. Just dance with Him. Well, the second way that a shepherd cares for his sheep and that God is caring for you continuously is that He protects. He protects you. Look at verses 4 and 5a. "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." I love this part. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, no matter how bad things get. Now that sounds pretty bad. It's just imagining a valley, a dark valley where you know a valley goes down and under. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow, and then there's darkness. There's even darkness in this place. It's a fearful place. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Don't need to be afraid. No matter how bad it gets, no matter how scary it gets, no matter how dark and treacherous that valley is, no matter what you're facing in this life, you don't have to be afraid. Why not? I will fear no evil. Why? Because He's with you. The shepherd's with you. For You are with me. You're with me, God. You're bigger than anything. That valley doesn't have a chance against me. You're a lot bigger than that valley. You're with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. And another thing that stands out to me personally is, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you know, the truth is, even when I mess up, even when I step out, maybe I put myself in that valley of the shadow of death. Even though I walk there, maybe God wanted me to go that way, but I walk over here. He's with me. He loves me. He's promised, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? I will fear no evil, for you are with me. His presence dispels evil, dispels fear. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Perfect love casts out fear, because fear has to do with punishment, the Scripture tells us. God loves you perfectly. So He drives out fear. His presence, Him with you, knowing He's with you, it drives out fear. Well, a shepherd with his sheep, he would carry a rod, and he would use that rod to protect the sheep. If there was a wolf that was alarming the sheep, he would go and he could beat away the wolf. If there was a bear, he would use that rod, and he would protect the sheep and drive the bear away. There was a staff, and he would use that to protect the sheep. If the sheep fell into a crevice, maybe a gap in the ground between a few rocks, then the shepherd could use the crook of that staff and pull that sheep out. So that shepherd would protect the sheep, and he's doing that for you. And that's a comfort to you. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. What a beautiful picture. You know, sometimes enemies will bring fear to you. Sometimes if you feel like different people are against you. And if you just imagine that situation, imagine a number of enemies just right in front of you. And God says, oh, don't worry. Here's how it is with the Lord. He's with you. And it's like He just puts a table down before you and separates you from your enemies and lays a tablecloth on it and just gives you some food and says, you just go ahead and eat. In other words, it's kind of a restful state. You know, if a lot of enemies are in front of you, I don't think you can peacefully, calmly sit there and eat. But in a sense, God is saying, yes, you can. I'm with you. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He protects you. There's a story told of a man in a time of war that was trying to escape his enemies, and they were chasing him, and he got a little ways away from them, and he ran down a hill. And this is in some woods, and he ran to the right around some trees, and they lost sight of him for just a few minutes. And he saw a cave, and he thought, that's my only hope. He was running for his life. And he ran into the cave, and they didn't see him go in there. And then he hid in the back of the cave, and he immediately started saying, oh, great, I've just lost my life. I've come into this cave. They're going to come right here. They're going to turn the corner. They're going to see that I'm not anywhere. They're going to see a cave with a hole. They're going to go and look in, and there's no hope. I'm dead. But the man ran, and he prayed, just prayed, God, please save me. And the men ran, and they came up to the cave, of course. And they got up to the cave, and they almost went in, but they didn't. They said, oh, he's not in there, look. And then they ran off, and his life was spared, and his life was saved. And he came, and as he went to exit the cave, he noticed a spider web. Just one strand of a spider web. And you see, just after he had gone in there, a spider had just dropped down and dropped his web. And so they didn't even check the cave. And that little spider web saved his life. And how small and how delicate that spider web is. Now, if you think about it, this is just like God's protection. A fortified city wall, without God, a fortified city wall is absolutely no protection. But with God, even a spider web is tremendous protection, is all the protection you need. God protects. He's continually protecting you. It's not the absence of evil that makes everything okay. It's His presence. Jesus prayed in John 17, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, praying for you and for me. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. Jesus didn't pray that the evil wouldn't come and we wouldn't be in this world with everything, the valleys of the shadow of death looming around us. But He prayed that God would protect us from the evil one in His presence. Is our peace. In John 16:33, Jesus was preparing his disciples for his departure, and soon he would go to the cross, and he said, "In me," he said, "I tell you the truth, in me you will have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world." He's the place of peace. There's peace in him. You'll never have a world free of bad things and circumstances. He said, you will have trouble. But, he said, you can have peace in me. He's where the peace is. And so he protects you. And finally, the third way that he cares for you, like a shepherd cares for his sheep, is he provides for you. He provides for you. Look in the second part of verse 5 and verse 6. "You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." He provides for us. He provides for all of our needs. Not necessarily all of our wants. Or I like what my pastor says, what Jay Wolf says. He provides for your needs, not your greeds. But he provides for everything that I need. He provides for what is the best for you. Just like a good earthly father. You know, if my youngest Christian, my six-year-old, if he told Allison and I, my wife, if he told us tonight for dinner, "You know what I want? I want Oreos. I'll have Oreos for dinner." You know what? I don't think we'd do it. We'd say, "No, here, you're going to have some broccoli, and you're going to have some mac and cheese," and we wouldn't give him the Oreos for dinner. Because we provide for what is best for him. We provide for his needs, not his wants. And it's the same with you, and it's the same with me. You might be crying out to God for something. You might think you need it more than anything in the world, and you just know that's what you need. But God knows best. He loves you. And he's going to give you what's best. He's going to do what's best for you. He provides for you. Your heavenly Father knows what you need. Jesus said that when he was talking about how to pray. He said, your Father knows what you need before you even ask. And then he told us not to worry about anything. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus told us not to worry about anything. Matthew 6:25, he said, "Look at the birds of the air. They don't store away in barns or... But God provides all the food that they need." And then he said, "Look at the flowers of the field. They're clothed better than King Solomon was. Look at them in all their beauty, and they're just here today and they're gone tomorrow." Will your heavenly Father not clothe you when you're so much more valuable to him than flowers or birds? And those are two of the greatest needs that you have are your food and your clothing. And God says, don't worry about those things. Your Father knows what you need. He'll provide for you. He'll guide you. And so he provides for us also, just like a shepherd does his sheep. So according to God's word, according to what he tells us here in Psalm 23, God cares for you and me, just like a shepherd cares for his sheep. So back to that question, the first question I asked you, how often does God care about you and think about you? Well, the answer is continuously. Continuously. Will you rest trusting that he is caring for you continually, guiding you, protecting you, providing for you? You won't always feel it. You won't always sense it or know it, but will you trust that he is? He loves you. He loves you infinitely. When you think about how often, you think of him. Maybe you say, "Oh, I think of him 3 times a day," or maybe you say, "Oh, I think of him probably 20 times a day," and you can put a number on it probably. But you know how often he thinks of you? The Psalms say that his thoughts towards you are like the grains of sand. He's continually thinking of you, loving you, caring for you, guiding you, protecting you. You're always on his mind. He watches you when you sleep. He pursues you. continuously. Listen to Him. Listen to Him. Hear His whisper. Jesus said in John 10, 16, Jesus said, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. If you're already His sheep, you're in a good spot. Jesus says, you're mine. You're my sheep. I continually protect you and guide you and care for you. But He just said that there's other sheep that are out there and they're not yet in that sheep pen. He says, I'm looking for them. And we know from Scripture that Jesus said, I have come to seek and to save that which is lost. We know His purpose in coming was to seek the lost, to find the lost, to find those sheep that have gone astray. The Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray, each of us to his own way. There's a wonderful old book, if you get a chance to read it, I just had to bring it up, All We Like Sheep by Mary Glenn Peoples. But that's a wonderful book Allison gave me one Christmas. But all we like sheep have gone astray, the Scripture tells us, each of us to his own way. So we've gone astray, there we are. And then it says, and the Lord has laid on Him, on Jesus Christ, the iniquity of us all. And so He took all of our sins, but He seeks the lost. We're told in Scripture that He leaves the 99 sheep on the hill and He goes to find the one that's lost to bring him back, leaving the 99. Well, what about you? What about you? Maybe you've realized today, you've known, well, I'm His sheep. And it's wonderful, you know, He's guiding me, protecting me, providing me continuously. But He's given you the ministry of reconciliation. Reconciliation means joining people to God, bringing the sheep back to Him, back to the shepherd where they need to be. He's given you that ministry, and me, and our church, the church. He's given you that ministry. And so the question is, are you seeking the lost? Sometimes we need to leave each other, these 99. We need to go find the one. Next week we'll have this in-gathering, this Sunday school in-gathering. And it's for the whole church. We'll have a breakfast at 8:30 and everybody will come and eat. And you know, it's a perfect opportunity. Maybe you can think of some sheep, even within our congregation. Maybe you can think of some people that you know were once a part of your Sunday school class, but you haven't seen them in a long time. Maybe you have that Sunday school roll, and those are people. Those aren't just letters on a roll. Those are people. Those are sheep, and they're out there. Maybe we need to do that ministry of reconciliation, and we need to leave the 99. Maybe we need to leave each other this week and ask Joan about your Sunday school roll. Get a copy of it, and maybe you need to call those. Find out what's going on. Bring them back. Bring them with you. Have them come back this Sunday. And not to mention the lost, not to mention the people all week long that God puts you in front of that don't know the Lord. Bring them in. He's seeking those sheep and He's using you to do it. He'll do it through you. You're not alone. Pray about it and follow His lead. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your love for us. Lord, we thank You that You love us, You guide us, You protect us, You provide for us, You're our good shepherd. And Lord, that You seek all those out there that don't know You yet. Lord, that You are pursuing them and seeking them. Lord, but Your plan is to use us, Lord. Would You send us out, Lord, to find that one and to bring them back, Lord. Thank You for these things. We pray them in Jesus' name.